If you will, please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, I want to read again the first five verses only and then give you a little bit of a backdrop of where we're going to be going in this study related to getting serious about reaching the world with the gospel. There's been much recoil, a withdrawing over the last decade when it comes to evangelism. There are a lot of different sources for that. There has been a lot of assumptions made that, and I've heard this so many different times, it comes from the Catholic Church, it comes from a lot of the mainline denominations, that all people are believers. All people are believers. Why do we have this emphasis of evangelism when we're all believers? Universalism is behind most of that. Then you have those like in New Calvinism that see it's complete foolishness to be evangelizing because we don't know who the elect are. And why should we be worried? God said that the elect, his gospel is like a cloud that hovers over them. And when they come to the end of life, they just go right into heaven. It doesn't matter how they lived here upon this earth as long as they've been elected or chosen by God. There have been other things. Shortage of helpers. That's been a major issue. The older population that's on the field right now don't have anybody to take their place. Candidate schools are much smaller than they used to be at mission boards. I was talking to Brother Brock Olivier, and he was telling me that he said our candidacy schools get smaller and smaller, and they only go to a few fields, and we're not seeing the large numbers that we used to see years ago. So there's been a shift that's taken place. And we need to understand that a lot of it is the teaching that young people are receiving. The teaching that they're receiving. And evangelism is not one of the things that's being taught. And so I want to keep it as part of the forefront of this church. We need to be reaching out as far as we can. We need to be supporting missions. We need to be getting the gospel out to those that are in our neighborhoods. And share with them the gospel. I want to read verses 1 through 5 very quickly. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Who separated Barnabas out for service? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did. Who separated out Saul for the work? The Holy Spirit did. Very important for us to understand that. Keep that in mind as you study the rest of the book. The Holy Spirit chose Barnabas. He didn't choose himself. And I don't personally believe in my own study of this, I don't personally believe that God got rid of him. I think that God still used him. Do people have differences of opinion in Christian work? Yes. Does God say, "Okay, you're canceled. You can't serve anymore because you had a disagreement with another brother"? No. Did Paul and Peter have disagreements? Yes, they did. They had a major heated one, but Peter didn't go away. God still used Peter. We need to understand that and keep that in mind when we study these things. It was the Holy Spirit of God that raised up Barnabas and raised up Saul. And yes, we see an emphasis move from Saul when his name is changed. It becomes Paul and Barnabas. All right? There's a leadership change there. But it doesn't mean an elimination of people. By the way, you don't read any more about these other names that I just mentioned either. Does that mean that they weren't serving God somewhere? No, it just means that God doesn't mention them. He has his primaries that he emphasizes and brings out so we can see the work as it progresses, as the Holy Spirit directs where the gospel goes. Now, let's pick up verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, second time, they are sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. There's another name that's mentioned here. John Mark. Now, on this first missionary journey, John Mark is going to go home. That upsets Paul. And he mentions that. He brings it up. But then 15 years later, we find him mentioning, bring him along, we can use him now. What happened? He had matured in the work of the Lord. Can people mature in the work of the Lord and be used of God? Listen, I think that when it comes to this matter of Christian living, we take things way too far. We just write people off. No good. Well, just because you had a difference at this particular point in their life does not mean that they're forever, never can be used of God, because over and over again we see differences of that particular mentality. God's able to use them. God's able to bring them back in, and they're able to be used of God. You know, some of the people that we think the most ill of may be the ones that God used the most. You might think that somebody like a D.L. Moody is worthless because he can't write. He can't speak well. He was terrible at writing. And he had a stubborn streak in him. He was not what we call a submissive young man growing up. But when he got saved, his life was transformed, and God used him not only here in America, but on the other side of the pond. He took the gospel over there, and people that were from the upper echelons of the political world, of the education world in England, came to know Christ as a result of an illiterate man preaching God's word. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, God can't use them. They don't have such and such degree. God can use anybody He wants to, and don't you ever get in His way. He can use whoever He wants to. You don't have to have such and such. I get so tired of these men that are in positions and education, and they say, oh, you're not fully prepared unless you have such and such. Who says? Was Peter not fully prepared because he was a fisherman? Jesus said he was. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's all they needed was Jesus Christ. I'm not putting down education, but what I'm saying is, when you put education above God, who's the caller and enabler of evangelists and teachers and preachers and pastors, and go down the list, when you put education above God, you've got a problem on your hands. You're exalting something that God never intended to be exalted over Himself. And we need to remember that. These men that are listed in the first five verses of Acts chapter 13 were the first to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they were men that came from diverse backgrounds. One from Libya. One who was known as Niger. His skin was black. We find their names mentioned by Josephus in the Antiquities of the Jews. He describes them. These men that went forth with the gospel. Oh, you don't read a lot about them, but they were willing to go. John Mark, who started out a little bit rough, but he was able to move back and move on for God. And so keep that in mind. The picture is this. God can use people of all differing sorts. And I want to share with you a statement in this regard, and I'll close with this tonight, by William MacDonald. He's one of my favorite commentators. He has a full one-volume commentary on the Old Testament and New Testament. It's one of the best devotional commentaries that I've seen, and he was a man that died just a few years ago, but just tremendous expositor of God's Word. And this is what he said. A new measuring stick has been brought into being with the gospel spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. It is not who you are, but what? Whose you are. And in my commentary, I put, amen! It's not on who you are. It's on whose you are. Who gives you the power to live the Christian life? God does. Who gives you the power to speak to somebody about their lost soul? God does. Who helps you to get through your day when everything, all the wheels have fell off of the station wagon around about 8:15? And your day is just going, Who's the one that steps in and just surrounds you with His comfort and His love and His strength? Don't push away from God. He'll help you get through. That's the glorious thing. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in what? Your weakness. It's not who you are, it's whose you are. Another part of this commentary, he says, these men illustrate that the early church was integrated and colorblind as far as man's skin was concerned. Their skin color was not what defined them. They were simply what? Servants of God. When did color become such a major thing in our world? The color of a man's skin became... This was a diverse group that's mentioned in Acts chapter 13. Probably haven't heard any messages on that, have you? Oh, we're not thinking about that. Well, we should be. A diverse group of men that God called to carry the gospel out. Skin color wasn't the issue. It was whether they were a servant. And every one of them served God. They ministered God's word. We're going to pick up with some of these important words as we're going to see here what they were doing when God called them. Not what they did after they were called, but what were they doing before they were called? Do you think that's important? What kind of life are you living before God calls you? We find these men are serving the Lord, they are fasting, they are praying, they are willing to go. All right? The interesting phrase is verses 3 and 4. They literally translate, they let them go or set them free to carry the gospel like a bird. You don't have to tell, now, birdie, flap your wings. If you remember the old Andy Griffith show where Opie shot the mama bird out of the tree. And so his dad says, you go get those little birds and you take care of them. Finally, they were just flopping all over the place and said, Daddy, I don't think they're very happy inside this cage. And said, they're not. I know you'd love to keep him, but you need to let him go. And he takes them over there and he pulls them out one at a time and he sets them go. He has different names for them and so forth like that. It takes all I can do to keep from crying during that scene. That's all right. I'm secure in my manhood. But I watch that clip of Opie letting him go. And he says, Daddy... He looks back over at his cage and said, the cage sure is quiet. But then Andy Griffith looks at him and says, Opie, but the trees are full of sound. You could hear them all just chirping. They're just as happy as they can be. That's the picture right here of these men. These men were set free to carry the gospel. Have you been set free to carry the gospel? Or are you just sitting? There's a big difference between sitting and being set free. God help us to be set free to carry His word to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family members that are lost and we haven't spoken to them in years about trusting Christ. Do you love them? Do you want to see them in heaven? Or have you become a practicing universalist? Well, I think they made a profession. They're such good people. After all, they have my last name on the end of their name. Well, we're going to talk about that on Sunday. We're going to get into this in Philippians about one of the other dangers in chapter 3, the danger of trusting your pedigree. Well, the Bible just unloads on those that are trusting in their pedigree to get them up there. It's not going to happen. Your pedigree will take you to hell. It won't take you to heaven. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. Lord, there's so many people in our purview, people that we live with and work with and are in our neighborhoods and our family members that we love that are just as lost as they can be. And we won't talk to them about the things of the Lord. We won't talk to them about salvation. We assume things about them that for the most part are just not true. Help us to get over ourselves and to get concerned about those that are dying and on their way to hell and reach out to them with the gospel. They can never, if we go with them with the Word of God, that they can never say, I never heard. Because I remember when Todd Brainerd spoke to me about my soul. They gave me a lifeline and I turned away from it. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts that we might be the givers of the Word, and may our feet be swift to share. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good rest of your week.